time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, that's the problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it does not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime.
The 300,000 is where our block-by-block program and... our low-income utility assistance program that is through Clara, Director Clara Long's department handles those activities.
Okay, so essentially this is money that is coming into the county through various revenue sources, property taxes, fees, fines, that type of thing.
Correct.
And then people call in if they need assistance with their power bill, and then we take those monies and then give them out as a more
we
like
provide
an in-house.
Some level of assistance.
Okay, so like an in-house charity.
I would defer to Director Long if the board would like a more detailed explanation, but yes, through some form of assistance.
I can help directly. It's not charity. It's called human services.
Well, if you just use a different word, that doesn't mean it's not charity. So in case you did not happen to watch the glorious budget hearing that was in Escambia County last Thursday. This is the morning meeting, not the night meeting, with the circus around data centers and OLF-8 and all the rest of that. I'll just say it. Silliness. This was... Oh, my God. This just did not quit. This was a two-hour meeting in which the back and forth, the bickering, the drama, the rancor was... it was on full display. So the beginning was you have these... you know, community services or human services or whatever you want to call them. Just don't call them charity. But if you're taking somebody's property tax dollars, as Ashley Hofberger explains, and somebody else who's called in says they can't make the rent, they can't make their utility bills, and we're giving them money to pay their rent and their utility bills, well, that is charity. I mean, that's the difference, and this is an important difference, is that when it's actual charity, people give it voluntarily. You know, if you recognize that there's some religious or social organization that is doing an important service in the community and you give them money of your own and then they redistribute it either through goods or services or financial assistance to other people, well, that's charity. On the other hand, if, you know, an agent of the government comes to your door with, you know, either a gun or a threat of a gun and says, give me your property taxes or we'll take your house. And you're like, well, here's my property taxes. And they go, thank you. It's a pleasure doing business with you. And you think, not again. But then they go and they give that money to poor people who need utility assistance or who need food or whatever. Well, that's not charity anymore. That's compulsion, right? But still, it's an in-house charity, except don't call it charity because Lumi gets upset. It's human services. Well, what's the difference? Well...
I mean, when you get direct assistance and when people are being put out of their houses and they can't pay their utilities, this is nothing unique. It exists in all 67 counties, and it exists here for years. And so I think it's a great program, and many of those.
Okay, so it's not unique. We do it all the time. We've been doing it for years, and you're helping people out. None of that explains why it's not still a charitable enterprise. The goal of the county is to help people. His view is that's good. Her view is that that's inappropriate with people's tax dollars, especially when you're talking about they're getting thrown out of their house because they can't pay the property taxes, and you're talking about using property taxes to prevent other people from being thrown out of their houses because they can't pay property. Like, it's a weird cycle.
Funds are federal funds that come in as well through community block grant. So I think it's human services, not charity, but maybe
what's
it could
the difference?
Be considered charity. I don't know, but it certainly is a part of quality of life and prevents homelessness. So, I mean, charity could be opioid abatement. It could be Suboxone. It could be any of those things. You can be anything. Charity could be funding economic development. I don't know. I mean, but it's this fund is out of $360 million to keep somebody lights on or keep them homeless or keep them from being homeless is just a drop in the bucket. So,
all right. So to summarize, it's not charity, it's human services. But if you think it's charity, well, that's fine because everything's charity. And economic development is charity, and helping a business out is charity. And this is, after all, even if it is charity, it's only a drop in the bucket. It's a small thing. Well, pick an argument, sir. You know, look, I've known Lumen a long time, but when Lumen gets upset about something, he starts throwing smoke, and he starts distracting and obfuscating and not dealing with the actual issue. And he did it at least four or five different ways in this one brief interchange.
So is this funded by grants or?
As in, does it come from money outside of our taxpayers in the county, some other entity like the feds or the state, which is still tax money. But, you know, we think of it a little bit differently because it's not just me taking your property taxes and giving it to somebody else who doesn't have the money that you wish you could keep.
Is it this, Commissioner, this is out of the county's general fund.
So this is not grant funding. As we are being pushed to tighten our belts, I would, and I'm going to get pushback from this, and I understand, but I want it on the record. I am not a fan of taking people's property tax dollars and paying other people's bills with those property tax dollars.
There it is. I do not support taking your property tax money and paying somebody else's bills with your property tax money. That's the short of it. Oh, she's going to get pushback.
Noted.
No, noted. And so another note. So as we have the property tax on the agenda, I'm not supportive of taking people's property that they've owned because they didn't pay a tax and giving it to other people to spend the way they want to spend it because they've held their properties and we take their tax dollars and take their homes and then we sell it to private developers.
So you're upset about Ashley saying she doesn't want to take people's property tax dollars to pay for somebody else's bills. And you say you're upset about taking people's homes away from them when they can't afford to pay their property taxes. And if you're drawing this argument out at home, you say, well, it sounds like you're actually on her side, that we shouldn't be taking people's property tax money to pay other people's bills. And then if they won't or can't pay their property taxes, we take their homes. That's literally what she's saying. Isn't it? Seems like they're on the same side, but when you get to talking fast and throwing smoke, sometimes you forget that you're throwing smoke against the wrong side.
Commissioners, if I could also assist. So,
by the way, this voice is Stephen Hall. He is the budget director.
Commissioners, if I could also assist. So, within governmental accounting, there is human services activity that is allowed, you know, by the state of Florida, and just to give that the board that additional information. So, within our functions and activities.
Poor Stephen. Stefan, sorry. You know what he's saying? He's like, it's legal. It's legal. What we're doing is legal. It's okay. Can we just, I'm so uncomfortable about all of this. What we're doing is not. Because there's been, right, this challenge between the clerk, Pam Childers, who says giving money to this or that particular charitable endeavor is actually not legal. It is, and that's in debate. Like, that's in the courts right now. There's a court case over that exact thing. And this is not exactly that question. You know, Ashley's not saying it's illegal. She's just saying, I don't believe in doing it. I don't think it's right, even if it's legal. And Stefan's like, well, it's, we can do it. It's allowed. I hope this will solve this problem.
So within our functions and activities.
Oh, I do believe it's a legal spend. I do understand that. I just don't think it's a conservative spend. And as we're being pushed to be more responsible, that number specifically sticks out because there's nothing tied to it. And it's hard to explain that to somebody that's not able, to Commissioner May's point, to pay their property taxes. About 20% of the properties that we end up putting up for tax deed sales are homesteaded. Right.
So. Yeah, and I agree, Madam Chair, but it's a lot easier to justify keeping a family from being put outside than to spend millions of dollars to put white sand on a beach.
What does that have to do with anything? Nothing, except that when Luhmann is threatened or challenged or feels like the people that support him and that his political base is entirely constituted of, you know, they want him to say something, well, he's lashing out. Well, why are we re-nourishing the beach? Well, sir, let me explain to you how certain pots of money can be used for certain things and how actually re-nourishing the beach is a great way to invest in the infrastructure that both the county residents enjoy, because we all love our beach, but also that's what draws people to come here and spend gobs and gobs of money from outside of the county, which generates bed tax revenue, sales tax, businesses, jobs, right? Tourism is one of our major sources of revenue. So he's just grasping for any possible thing he can say. You know, how dare you challenge giving somebody, you know, rent money or utilities money when we're wasting all this money on re-nourishing the beach for these fat cats? Well, that beach makes it possible to do all these other things and the things you're supposed to do for government. But I love her kind of, well, oh, I know it's legal. It's just not what I want to do with our money. So that's not a pause moment exactly, but that's a setup. Like, this is part one of what will be a four-part drama today, at least. I hope I can get through all of this today. Because that kind of, you know, the human services slash charity slash, used to call it discretionary funds, is it, isn't it? Well, anyway, we'll come back to all that. Then there was a brief interlude. I don't have interlude music for you, but there was a brief interlude where Vicky Mizrahi from the Supervisor of Elections office, Robert Bender's office, who could not be there, I forget why, but he couldn't be there, they're all going through the various constitutional officers like the sheriff or the tax collector, you know, people who are required by the Constitution to be elected in the county. That's why they call them constitutional officers. And they're going through their budgets. And she says, oh, by the way, there's going to be one, at least possibly going to be one item that we're going to have to budget for this year that we didn't have to budget for last year.
As we were preparing the budget, Supervisor Bender was advised that there may be a redistricting next year. So we did include additional dollars for redistricting. That amount is $259,307, which would, once redistricting is done, which would take some cost to do it, we'd then have to send every voter in the county a new voter information card. So it includes the printing of those cards, the mailing of those cards out to voters. So that is a number that if we decide not to redistrict, and you could set that aside for now and just have it added back in if redistricting is something you decide to do.
Redistricting? What you mean redistricting? We already did the statewide redistricting. We haven't had a census change, not yet. We're not going to have to do another redistricting for about 5 years. What exactly are you talking about? Well, Mike Kohler, and what she's saying is if we do a redistricting, we have to budget because we have to send out mailers to everybody who's affected by it, and the mailers are going to cost us about $260,000, which is not massive amount of money, but it's not nothing either, $250,000. So Mike Kohler, County Commissioner for District 2, says...
And on redistricting, Wes, did the Supervisor of Elections mention it? I'm not opposed to that, but are we planning for that?
We have not had any discussion about it.
Okay. Well, that's probably something we need to, as a board, consider. Thank you.
Okay.
I don't know what she's talking about. I don't know what Robert Bender's talking about. I do. You know what they're talking about? The Calais decision from the Supreme Court. The Calais decision was the one that said you can't have race as the reason for districts, and that seems to have meant, I would think, that we cannot have the single voting district like we have in Escambia County in order to accomplish a racial justice outcome. And as I said at the time when this happened 3 months ago, I said, I think somebody's going to bring a lawsuit, somebody's going to look at this, and based on the reasoning involved, because in the state of Florida you have to have general or at-large districts, which is like how Santa Rosa does it, everybody votes for everybody, unless some very particular circumstances are met and we can't meet those circumstances anymore. That's been said no. So I think it's only a matter of time before Escambia County has its single-member district policy either completely eradicated, or we have to, at the very least, redraw our districts without any reference to race. And that would be the only redistricting that I know of. And I talked to Robert Bender, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? He's like, that? I'm like, is somebody saying they're going to do that? He's like, well, there was rumbling. I said, Rumbling from whom? And he said a lot of people, including you, had talked about it. I'm like, yeah, that's right. So this is not a specific threat or warning or announcement, but it is, that's what they're preparing for, is the possibility that Escambia County might redraw its districts in the current year or next year. We'll see. Also of note, just, you know, kind of put this in the hopper if you're thinking about all this. If the districts get redrawn, especially if they get redrawn as general, like if they go away entirely where everybody votes for every county commissioner, I'll tell you who will not have a job next time around: Lumen May. Not specifically because he's Lumen May or because he blows all the smoke or because he's but because he's a liberal, he's a Democrat. And in a county of our size with our demographics, it's extraordinarily unlikely that they would, we would reelect him as a countywide thing. You know, single member districts have a certain outcome. General elections have a different outcome. So in the back of his mind for the next hour and a half, that's going to be simmering. And he knows this. This is not a surprise to him. So we'll kind of, you know, pause it there. We're not done entirely. There's lots of other stuff to come. But I just want to let you get, that's the preview. That's the episode one of what will be a four-part series today at the beginnings of every hour, 5, 6, 7, and 8. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you need work done on the plumbing, the heating, the electrical, the air conditioning inside your home, or, you know, I mean, if your generator is going to be outside your home, generator's electrical outside your home, Peden, they can take care of that. Ever since 1969, Robert Peden has been, he founded this company to do air conditioning, which makes sense in Panama City in the summer in Florida. What do? Make people cold, take money for it. It's a good idea. Grew the business geographically from Tallahassee all the way to Mobile. In the last couple of years, they've expanded across the state lines into Baldwin County and Mobile. In product service, not just, you know, air conditioning, but heating, of course, and electrical and plumbing and all the stuff that they do now, with good products, good people, good installation, 100% satisfaction guarantee on all their work. And right now, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with a new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. So if it's kind of been on the margins for you, your AC, we still have a lot of heat left. Give them a call, schedule an installation. You get scheduled maintenance included with that, priority service, so you go to the front of the line. 15% off repairs, all included. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
From the efficiency of American natural gas and the dependability of nuclear power to the strength of Florida's sunshine and the flexibility of advanced battery storage systems, at FPL, we leverage a diverse mix of energy sources to power our growing state, ensuring reliable, low-cost power whenever you need it. See how at FPL.com. FPL, working for you every single day.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You've still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia and RSV. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and can help protect you from getting really sick. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. See more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
When I hit my 50s, I felt like things were slowing down.
This is Sandra's Metamucil story.
I started taking Metamucil for digestion, but had no idea it would impact so much more. Not only did Metamucil help me feel more regular, but my heart health saw the benefits too.
Metamucil, one simple routine, four health benefits. Digestive health starts here. Go to Metamucil.com for more details.
You ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
That's not a real gun, is it, Clark? What, are you kidding? This is a Magnum P.I.
It's a BB gun.
Don't try me. I could put an eye out with this thing.
You couldn't even break the skin with that thing.
Oh, it could. It could. It could break the skin. It could put a lodge under the skin and cause a very bad infection.
That's an old wives' tale, Clark.
I'm telling. That's not... You're not going...
The big air show that goes on every year, Farnborough in England. Interesting note came out of that. Defense One, who is a very, it's a very good military reporting site. There's several really good ones out there, and that's one of the ones I check every day. Martin Baker, that's the folks who kind of invented, perfected, developed, and manufacture not most, but not all of the ejection seats that we use in our aircraft, like the F-5, some of the F-16s, the F-18s, F-35s, T-6s, T-38s, T-45s, many of which those platforms fly overhead here, the T-6 and the T-45 in particular. That's the Goshawk and the Texan. And the interesting note, they've saved the lives of almost 8,000 aviators over their 8 decades that they have been operating and manufacturing these. But there is a concern for them, and the concern is, if we go towards more unmanned or remote operated or drone based aviation, do you need ejection seats for drones? And the answer is, well, no, because there's, you know, no persons inside them. So just an interesting note. There's also other companies, Collins Aerospace. They also do some for the F-15, the 16, the 22, the B-1 and the B-2. There are some other companies, but, you know, those who make ejection seats, among with many others, might have their business model shifted as we move to less human-based flight systems.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump welcomes Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to the White House today. Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv.
The pair are expected to discuss the war in Iran and the next steps forward in this conflict. We know the New York Post reports that Netanyahu will share intelligence with the president about Pickaxe Mountain next to the Natanz nuclear facility. Israel's leader is in town for the memorial ceremony for the late Senator Lindsey Graham.
The late senator dying earlier this month from a heart issue. President Trump, as well as Ukraine's President Zelensky, will attend the funeral. Michigan's primary next Tuesday. Last night, a big debate.
Abdul Al-Sayed and Representative Haley Stevens went back and forth over personal attacks, foreign policy, like stances on Israel, and campaign funding.
They are battling for the Democratic spot to run for U.S. Senator. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, it is a warm start to our morning, 80 degrees already this morning, 92 with that heat index. And we'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson up in just a few minutes. A fourth suspect has now been arrested in an April shooting at the Oakwood Terrace Apartments. 19-year-old Isaiah Lauderdale has been charged with attempted homicide. He's being held without bond. Deputies had already arrested 3 others in the case, which left 2 people injured. Escambia deputies previously said as many as 6 people were involved, most of them shooting at each other. A Pensacola landscaper stumbled onto a family's worst day and ended up saving their lives. Nate Dickerman was driving by after a lightning strike near a Pensacola home when he noticed smoke coming from the roof. He warned the family just minutes before a gas line ignited in their kitchen. Dickerman stayed the entire night helping the family salvage belongings and offering support as the home burned. The family calls him their guardian angel. Now, the National Defense Authorization Act recently passed the House. Northwest Florida Congressman Jimmy Petronas says the Israel Technology Partnership in Section 219 that has generated some concern locally comes down to a simple geographic reality.
Because of logistically where Israel is placed, because they have to have an active technological perimeter around their country every single day. They have innovations, especially when it comes to cyber, that's usually cutting edge.
Congressman Jimmy Petronas there, he says the Senate may change the NDAA language before a final version becomes law. The House version also includes a 5-7% military pay raise and language that would criminalize hazing under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Santa Rosa County Sheriff's deputies are conducting active shooter training at Navarre High School tomorrow and then at Soundside School on Thursday this week. Chief Deputy Randy Tift says the exercises put school administrators through tabletop scenarios and difficult situational questions, preparing both deputies and school staff for how to respond and what to expect from law enforcement during an active shooter incident. Tift does say the training happens every year at as many schools as possible. Residents in those areas who see sheriff's deputies on campus should not be alarmed. Again, it is all a planned training happening tomorrow and Thursday as well. It is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with Brooke Richardson for our Channel 3 forecast.
We will have just a small chance of rain this afternoon, 20% overall. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies and hot weather. Temperatures warming up into the upper 90s, near 100 for your actual temperatures, with heat index values up to 108 to 113. Heat advisories as well as an extreme heat warning is in effect on the coastline. Going overnight tonight, temperatures will drop near 81. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, another hot day back in the mid to upper 90s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
82 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. This is News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. South Korean semiconductor shares tumbled this morning, extending a collapse in chipmakers after another weak session on Wall Street. SK Hynix plunged more than 14%, while Samsung Electronics fell over 13%. Selling followed through to Europe, with key chip companies falling in early trade. Apple passed NVIDIA yesterday for the title of world's most valuable company, with the iPhone maker topping the AI chip firm at market close for the first time since April of 2025. NVIDIA had held the top spot as the most valuable company since June of 2025, when it took the crown from Microsoft. The Federal Aviation Administration said yesterday that it was slowing flights into three New York City area airports and Philadelphia International Airport due to severe weather and air traffic staffing shortages. FlightAware said between 20 and 30% of flights were canceled at the four airports. Ground delays were averaging between 71 and 149 minutes. Futures are mixed as chip stocks struggle. That's Your Money Now.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
After a storm, portable generators are a helpful, temporary solution until power can be restored. Remember, 20-20-20 to keep safe while using a generator. Keep your generator 20 feet away from your house. Wait 20 minutes for the generator to cool down before refueling. Purchase a $20 carbon monoxide detector to protect you and your family. For more tips on hurricane safety, check out the Hurricane Guide at floridadisaster.org/guide.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Let me introduce you to Social Mirror. This is when we take the best content from your social media platform and deliver it to the phones, tablets, and computers of your target audience, where they live or wherever they go on the internet. You can add a call to action that sends people to your website or opens up their phone app with your phone number on it or gives them directions to find you. All of this comes with reporting to show how many people saw the ad and reacted to it.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
You're already listening.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
So you might as well stay smart all day.
It's the Pensacola Morning News.
From Pensacola Morning News in the morning to Pep Talk with Meg in mid-morning, NVR late morning to afternoon, you do it from 2 to 4, and Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin through your drive home. News that moves with you all day long.
All day long.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. On the line with me, I have Jimmy Patronis, our congressman from Florida District 1, Northwest Florida's congressman. Jimmy, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Andrew, great to be with you.
Good to have you. So there's a lot of news I want to get to with you, and we certainly will. But I did want to start. We had two fairly significant passings here locally last week. One was John Gerald's, former city council member, served for, I think, 14 years in total, 12 at one time, and then two or three the second time. But also the founder, co-owner of the Floribama, Pat McClellan, who I had never met, but I think was one of your friends, passed away last Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Pat was a legend in the hospitality industry. Spent his time there at NAS Pensacola, but it came back to Northwest Florida via Church Street Station back in Orlando. I'm getting chills telling you this because he was just such a character. Pat, where I first met him was, Jimmy was always, I was the intern when I was in the Florida Senate back in the early 90s. But I was also, after I graduated in Florida State, I was active in the Restaurant Association. So all the Panhandle restaurateurs would stick together on the day that we were supposed to go up and lobby our state legislators. And it seems like, Pat, our ritual was is we always would get together when it was lobby day in Tallahassee, because I was his hunting guide to show him how to get around the halls. And, there in his later years of life with his new partners, started doing Sunrise Church Service out at the Floribama. They broke the mold when they made that guy in the iconic business there he established was world renowned. I had people all over the country that when they heard what district I was from, usually about the next statement out of their mouth was the Floribama.
Yeah, no, it's a wild place. It's got a long history. It does a lot of things. And, everybody knows the Floribama, like you said, not just here, obviously, all over the country, even all over the world. But, I kind of wish I had met him because I hear so many great things about him, so many nice things. And I like interesting people, of course. And he sounds like,
he was definitely the Secchi's guy. He was the world's most interesting man. That's for sure. And I would have people that would call me and say, hey, trying to get in the Floribama, it's crazy busy. Can you get me in? And I'd call Pat, and by hook or crook, he would figure out a way how to make me look, influential, and he would, show him a good time. So just big hole in my heart, he was a titan in the industry and a legend, was.
Well, the one thing I always say when I talk about celebrities passing, and it's true of all of them, is of any person, is, we miss them because they meant something to us. And, sadness is evidence of value.
And you're going to get me upset by saying that.
No.
That's spot on. Because he was one of those types. He's just such a gentle guy.
Yeah.
And when he heard I was going to run for CD1, and every event that he could attend, he came to. He was a big cheerleader of mine, but I was a big cheerleader of his.
Well, I don't know how many people have said it, but I was just, I'm sorry for your loss to the community, but I'm sorry for your personal loss with him.
Appreciate it.
The NDA, the National Defense Authorization Act, passed. There's some interesting elements in that. One of them that I've gotten a lot of questions, and I had not been tracking this issue, but people just formed their opinion about this. This Section 219 and cooperation with Israel on, technology, weapons development, and so forth, I think actually makes sense since they are so much on the cutting edge of things. It seems like a defense development R&D partnership. Other people are freaking out that think it's a loss of sovereignty that we're selling out our society to the Israelis. What's your perspective?
Well, there's nothing that says that the full discretion lies with the United States. But the reality is because of logistically where Israel is placed, because they have to have an active technological perimeter around their country every single day. They have innovations, especially when it comes to cyber, that's usually cutting edge. So again, this is a partnership where they can share. They buy U.S. weapons. We get some of their technology. But we can't have that relationship. There's other countries that are dying to be closer to the United States. But we just, our intellectual property is just too valuable, and co-development of anything when it comes along the weapon systems is something we have to hold back with reservation. Again, Section 219, as people are concerned about, the full discretion lies in the United States. In addition, this isn't the same language we may see ultimately when the Senate takes up the NDAA.
Right.
They change it altogether.
Yeah, the Senate may change things as well. I mean, I just think about, you know, I think this Golden Dome thing is a fool's dream. I don't think it'll ever happen. But if it were going to happen, you better bet we're going to learn from Israel on Iron Dome. You know, we're going to learn everything that they've got. So I see the need. I see the value of, you know, of being connected with them on all of these things. Another part of the NDAA, of course, pay raises. So great for the military, yep. Of course. Pay raise 5 to 7%. Do I have that right? I'm working on memory.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And then this business about hazing, the possibility of hazing is already not allowed, but this would make it an actual crime under the UCMJ. Is that right? At least possibly,
you know, possibly, you know, that there's, but you know, all these things get brought up, they get placed in the legislation. Some of the stuff we get to vote on the amendment process. Some of it we do not. This was something that was embedded in the base bill, as was the Section 219 stuff.
Okay.
So some of this we didn't get to kind of edit it or change it or vote it up or down, but you know, it's part of at least what the House proposed.
Thanks so much. The deal with Saudi Arabia to allow them or to help facilitate the development of you know, consumer side nuclear power, not for weapons or anything like that. Of course, I think what a lot of people initially look at that is, where did these 9/11 terrorists come from? You know, like, it's a bit of a fraught enterprise to bring nuclear into an area like that. But you also have this question of the, you know, normalizing of relationships with Israel. Will that happen? Becoming a part of the Abraham Accords, will that happen? What's your perspective?
So this is all part of the negotiations of getting Saudi Arabia part of the Abraham Accords, normalizing relationships as much as possible. You know, the one thing when Biden, I mean, the Obama administration, I mean, like I said, revisited by the Biden administration, when the money was sent to Iran, it created such distrust amongst all Middle Eastern states. And then a nuclearized Iran was definitely disruptive. It brought those Middle Eastern states together. Under the Biden administration, things got worse. And now Trump is just trying to pick back up where he was in his first administration, bringing those countries together, because he is not one. He wants them to police themselves. Mm-hmm. And so, all right, so how do we normalize the trust where they can police themselves? This is exactly where it's going. Under the Trump administration, you had normalized airspace over Saudi Arabia flying to the east, where that was never the case prior to that. So, I mean, this is all what the president does. He tries to cut a deal, and he tries to let, you know, others police themselves.
You know, and I don't think the president really has gotten enough credit for what he's done with the Middle Eastern countries. I know the fixation, of course, is on, you know, the war with Iran, but there's a lot more going on. And the Abraham Accords, I thought, were a brilliant initiative. The effort to create normalization of relations. I mean, I always look at Jordan's relationship with Israel as the paradigm. Like, you know, once Jordan allowed the Israelis to teach him agriculture and, you know, water management, it's like, oh, all of a sudden we get along because, you know, we were mutually beneficial economically. And look, you're not these evil people that we need to wipe off the face of the earth. That was a massive change in relations. And if Saudi Arabia, if some of these other countries could be brought into that kind of relationship with Israel, which, of course, they want. I mean, my goodness, you know, that's a major accomplishment, and we're sort of partway there.
That's what the whole Board of Peace is about. It's to try to get those countries in a relationship with each other where they'll watch out for each other. And then, you know, the United States is not going to be focusing as much resources in the theater in order to keep fighting down. But to your point, those countries are arid states. Israel has a lot of you know, saline to water technology, a lot of things, because they essentially live on an island and they have to bring everything in. So their technology is also attractive to those other countries that have the same environments.
Let's switch gears a little bit. And I did want to talk about a vote that came up recently. It was a combo vote where the ban on stock trading by sitting congressmen got joined with, I don't know if it's the full SAVE Act or portions of the SAVE Act, but voter ID, I know, was a part of it. Wound up getting passed with a small number of Democrats coming over to your side. I hate to see multi-subject bills. You know, I think that bills should be up or down on their own merits. And I kind of agree with the criticism that this is designed to make Democrats look bad for voting against it, because it sounds like they're against the insider trading stuff. But at least if it passes in the Senate, I like both provisions, of course. They're very popular.
Yeah. So look, I'm a big believer in germanity also. But here's the reality of it. We are now sending every single bill to the Senate with a version of the SAVE Act attached to it. And so, eventually the Senate is going to have a piece of legislation from us that they've got to pass, and they're going to be looking at it, and their constituents are going to be asking them about it, and hopefully we get enough pressure to get them to take up the SAVE Act or the SAVE America Act. What we did with the stock trading bill, which was good legislation, we shouldn't have people going to Washington, not being a millionaire, and once they leave, they become a multimillionaire. Andrew, if you did that, you'd be going to jail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So again, I think it's important, but this is also the voter identification citizenship parts of the SAVE Act were also in that stock trading bill. And yeah, we did get a bunch of Democratic support on it because both those issues are very popular.
Right.
But they had to break with the far left parts of their party, which, this is what we should do. We should be working on good policy that makes sense to all Americans.
All right. I'm going to give you Andrew's suggestion for something that I told people earlier when we're talking about this, that if I could be king for a moment or wave my fairy wand or whatever you want to call it, I would make this happen here. And since you mentioned
drum roll,
you're a big fan of germanity, your things being germane. Here's my suggestion. I think all federal legislation should be, one, shorter than 10 pages. Two, single subject, obviously. Three, have a sunset provision. I like 5 years. It's better than 10. I'll take 10, but I'd rather have 5. And then four, it should have measurable metrics that it's designed to solve that you can say at 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 years how much progress was made so that when 5 years comes up, we can have a meaningful conversation about, whether this should go away or persist and how to evaluate it. I know this will never pass, but there's a little kid inside me that hopes one day to see something like this.
So of all those, I think they're all doable. They're probably limited to 10 pages. It's going to be the hardest part.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you open up a particular provision and statute, you may be scaling across chapters and chapters of statutes in order to change. So it's kind of hard because you're maybe capturing something on page one and something on page 100, but it's all dealing with Army Corps of Engineers.
I know. And that's like I just want the federal code to be something that a single person can lift. Ultimately.
At the state legislative process, a lot of what you're saying is already in place.
Yeah.
To me, it's just the states can be a little more nimble when it comes to that type of stuff. I wish things move faster in Washington, D.C., but they don't. It's 435 members from, the greatest country in the world, and everybody feels like they're the most influential member of Congress. So it's been a fun ride so far. We just got to chip away at it.
Well, if you can get any of them done, I'll celebrate you for it.
I love sunset provisions.
I do,
sunset
too.
Sunset provisions to me rock.
Yeah.
If you like it and does a great job, just file it again.
Right. Yeah,
file
it should be easy to pass. If it worked, it worked, right? So
that's the same way I feel about federal money. State, you got such a fantastic program, you go pay for it. And then if you feel like it's really got great merits, then you can come back, get your member of Congress to file for an appropriation to get your reimbursement. But all this money just sending that blanket to the states, and then the fraud, waste, and abuse takes place. That's dumb. That practice has got to stop.
Last one. I feel like I am the kid holding his finger in the dike stopping the flood on this, and I feel like it's not going to work. But I have been screaming about the idea of turning the Bayway, the replacement bridge for the I-10 connector between Mobile and Spanish Fort, into a toll road. It's going to be a $3.5 billion project at the moment. They're going to put a 770 toll each way. There'll be a monthly pass or whatever. But the very idea of turning that into a toll road, I don't know what you can do. Maybe at this point it's too late because the White House is involved in the funding and some of this stuff. But I just see this is going to be a disaster. But can you help, Jimmy? Can you help not make I-10 a toll road?
So projects like that, look, this happened years ago with the additional bridge at Highway 331, and they were going to put a toll there. Eventually, if you find enough pressure is placed, you will get, whether it be the governor of Alabama, we'll have an initiative where let's get the legislature to step up more financially. There will be dollars that are available. There's going to have to be, in some cases, prioritized from some other project. But I would prefer not to have toll roads. I think where toll roads are already embedded, I think they need to make sure that they're setting dollars aside for future repairs and maintenance. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen enough. You know, usually local governments, once they start to toll, they start siphoning that money off for using it for other, you know, god-awful boondoggle projects, as opposed to maintaining the road that they're supposed to maintain in the first place.
And you didn't even mention the Bob Sykes Bridge. Well done. Jimmy Petronas is our congressman for Florida District 1. Jimmy, I always appreciate the time, sir. Thanks for the information. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. See you. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. 554 here on News Radio 92.3. Of course, what I meant by the Bob Sykes quip was, you know, it was a bridge that had a toll that was designed to pay off the bridge, and we paid off the bridge, and we kept the toll, and the toll was used for not putting away for the future bridge replacement, and so now we're in a position where we're trying to figure out how to replace that bridge in Escambia County. Same basic problem that he was talking about. I'm not saying that the purposes for which the $1 toll was used were, you know, frivolous or unnecessary. It's just, you know, it got used for other stuff, and it did not go into a savings account, and so here we are. 554 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a home improvement project you're working on and you want questions answered or ideas, or, you know, I used to have a boss, and he used to have his theory for me was I'd come and ask him something, and he'd be like, Andrew, there's just two times when I want you to come and ask for my advice. I'm like, yeah, what's that? And he said, the first time is when you're not sure what to do. I'm like, all right. And he said, the second time is when you are sure what to do. I'm like, oh, so always. And that's the point. Like, when it comes to working on stuff around your home, you know, when should you go ask Pensacola Hardware for advice? When, you know, you don't know what to do, and when you do know what to do. Like, always, just go ask. It doesn't hurt. Plus, you know, they're going to give you good guidance and make sure you get the thing done right and safely at the lowest possible cost. And they have the expertise. I mean, they've been doing this for 175 years. The institutional knowledge there is unmatched, period. Now, if you're a professional contractor, you build things for a living, same thing, only even more so. They speak your language, they work with your folks all the time, and they have helped build or supply the building of almost everything you see around you in this town since 1851, before there was Levi's Jeans. They've been around, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 175 years.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Santa Rosa, I am Jill Broxson-Teston, a parent of four amazing children. I understand a strong school system is one of the most important investments we can make in our children's future. That's why I'm running for School Board District 5. My mission is to be your strong advocate for our public school system. I'll lead with transparency and steady leadership to help ensure the long-term success of our district. On August 18th, I'll be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
You know, sometimes you want answers.
Sometimes you just want something upbeat.
Either way, Meg's got you covered. Pet Talk, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Excuse me, ma'am. I need to sit somewhere else.
I'm sorry, it's a full flight.
We used to be married.
The worst 19 years of my life.
We were only married for 5.
I'm counting the recovery.
PJ, are you a fan of the Lord of the Rings movies? You know, this version, not the animated version from the 80s, but the... I watched the animated, did not watch the live. Oh, all right. So you know the Nazgul as those scary, horrible drawings and the terrifying hobbits cringing while they pass over from the animated, which was, I thought, great, but, you know, not the Peter Jackson... Sorry, not the Peter Jackson version. Great song. Okay. Yeah, no, it is. If you had to take a guess, you know, Sean Astin, who was Rudy famously. And then he was also Frodo? Samwise in the Lord of the Rings. How much money would you think he'd get paid for a movie participating in a trilogy that made, what, $3 billion worldwide? You want to take a stab at that? Any idea?
I mean, I'd hope at least $10 million.
Yeah, $250,000.
Oh, my gosh.
$250,000. He says he made so little money on the endeavor that he actually had to sell his house in the process because he negotiated terribly. They shot them all together, so there wasn't the opportunity to, like, have the first one succeed and then renegotiate for the second and the third one. Mm. Orlando Bloom apparently says he only made like $175,000. Legolas made $175,000 for shooting a $3 billion movie.
Fire their agent.
Now, they did get some good exposure and follow-up roles, but wow. Mm-hmm. That you would have thought, I mean, there'd be some kind of, I don't know, revenue or variety is the one who reported on that. And I thought, man, that is... I'm not typically going to be out here, like, crying for the broke actors in Hollywood, but you would think a movie that makes that kind of money would have made them a little bit more.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Two world leaders discussing two...